Welcome to the Hidden Why podcast, episode 1104, my interview with Cedric Batelli, discussing emotional resolution and healing. Enjoy. Hello, Cedric, and welcome to the Hidden Why podcast. Great to have you here today.
Hi, Lee. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
I really look forward to this conversation. Emotional Health Institute. You're the founder there. Is that right?
Yep. Founder of the Emotional Health Institute in the USA and in France. Collaboration with Dr. Jacques Fumex.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're the founder there at Emotional Health Institute. There is a website, so everyone can jump on there and check out the information that you're sharing as well, which is a great body of work, all about emotional health, I suppose, and helping individuals and professionals around the world resolve their emotional limitations, I suppose you might call them. Demystify this idea of emotions for us, because I know there's many thoughts about it, but I don't know if there's too much clarity about what emotions are and how they actually drive our lives.
Thank you for the question, because I think it's one of the main part of our work to kind of vulgarize, demystify emotions. Mm-hmm. So we're not afraid of them, ashamed of them, or guilty of them. So I can explain pretty quickly how the brain constructs emotional patterns.
Okay.
Few things. First of all, we got to understand that one of the main jobs of the brain is to predict. Well, the brain has many jobs, but one of the main ones is to predict. We constantly predict based on past experiences.
So to predict, help us automate.
Constantly predicting. You can see that if you're about to have a cup of coffee, before you even taste the coffee, you know exactly the taste that you're going to have. You predict before you're testing. We constantly predict. That's what keeps us ahead of the game, so to speak.
Yes. Yep.
That's the first thing. Okay. Number two, we know that at the origin of any debilitating emotional pattern is always the same type of event. It's always an instant of trauma. So in order for us to carry emotions for years, months, etc., at the origin, it's always an instant of trauma. Now, what is a trauma? People talk, it's a big topic, the trauma.
Yep. Oh, we've got a bit of a freeze here happening.
Physical. Yep.
You just froze there.
Oh, sorry, but am I back? I think I'm
back. Yes. Yep.
So I'm going to repeat that. A trauma for us is just an instant that holds too much stress, physical or emotional, for us to take on at the moment when we live it. That's it. That's what a trauma is.
Physical, emotional trauma is taken on just at the moment that we live it.
That's right. A trauma is an instant that holds on too much stress for us to take on at the instant when we have it, when we experience it. Something is going to be experienced. Go ahead, Lee.
So with that trauma, physical, emotional experience, what's the idea behind that? And why do we have that reaction in that moment?
Okay, beautiful. So something is going to be experienced as a trauma depending on our age, our personality, our environment. Like two kids will not have the same experience based on these criteria, among others, personality, age, environment. What qualified as a trauma is that the is so intense that there is an instant of dissociation.
Yeah.
That means that the cognitive mind shut down for just a few seconds, maybe 1 second, maybe more. Because it's too much, and that's a natural mechanism so that we don't suffer too much during this instant of trauma. We don't consciously suffer too much. Now, what you and I are aware of right now, consciously, is about 2,000 bits of information processed at a speed of about 150 miles per hour. That's what you and I were conscious of.
Yeah.
At the same time, our subconscious has a potential to gather 400 billion bits of information. Second,
that's a big difference, isn't it?
It's a huge. The scale.
What did you say? 2,000, and then you say so 2,000 bits of information, as opposed to the subconscious of 4 billion. Did you say
400 billion?
400 billion.
So the scale is a marble. That's for the cognitive, and the Mount Everest for the subconscious. That's pretty much a scale.
Hmm.
And the speed of processing is 150 miles per hour for the cognitive to 150,000 for the subconscious.
Yeah.
So in the instant of a trauma, there is a dissociation. The cognitive, one of the main jobs of the prefrontal cortex is to filter information so we can have this conversation, for example, or live in society. But during the trauma, the prefrontal is gone, no more cognitive. And the subconscious functions like the black box of a plane, if you will. It never stops. So when there's not this filter, it's going to gather a huge, it's impossible to understand the amount of information that it gathers during the instant.
That's the subconscious that it's gathering there.
Gather your subconscious, my subconscious will gather. That's right.
Okay. Oops, well, you just keep freezing there, Cedric. I'm not sure what's going on there.
I don't know. I don't know why. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Do the best with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be fine. I mean, I don't know. We never know.
It's okay.
Anyway, so during this instant of dissociation, the brain gathers, imagine a huge whirlpool gathering all the sensorial information available around you at a super, super high definition. And the subconscious is also going to record the physical sensation that you feel in your body at this instant of dissociation. Later on in our life, doesn't matter, months, years, decades after, when the brain or the body, whatever you want to call it, find itself in a situation where it recognizes one or several elements that were present during one specific trauma, your brain is going to generate instantly the physical sensations that it is expecting to feel, that you felt during that specific trauma. So when your body is exposed to a stimulus that is recognized as something that was present during a past trauma, your brain is generating instantly the physical sensation that you're about to feel based on what was felt during this trauma. So prediction.
Yeah.
Now, you know that you have an emotion. I know that I have an emotion because I have physical sensations.
Yeah.
If I'm anxious, if I'm angry, it's not in my head. It's in my whole body. That's called interoception. Right? The physical sensation that we feel when we have an emotion, the physical sensation that let us know that we feel an emotion, this is called interoception. Also,
interoception.
Interoception, that's right.
So all emotion is attached to our physical feeling?
All of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If not, if you didn't have physical feeling, you would not know that you feel an emotion. If you didn't have interoception, you would not know that you need to pee, to poop, that you're hungry, that you're thirsty. All this is interoception. It is managed in the brain by the insular cortex.
Yes.
But this is the key for debilitating emotion. Every time the body is exposed to a stimulus, and you don't need to know what the stimulus is. You don't need to know why the stimulus is there. But every time we're exposed to a stimulus, conscious or subconscious, your brain is going to generate this interoceptive prediction. Now, the problem is, as human beings, we control this prediction. Either way, by breathing, stretching, controlling our environment, bottle it down, that's what maintains the loop of the emotion. The fact that we constantly control this interoceptive prediction.
Okay, that's a problem that we control it, not a benefit that we can control it.
Absolutely. So what we call emotional regulation, what we've been taught by our parents, our educators, our martial, whatever it is, right?
Yeah,
in sport, that's right. It's maintaining the loop. If we want to resolve an emotional difficulty, I mean, it's extremely simple in a way. We have to let this interoceptive prediction play out until the end without any type of control from us, from a parent, or from a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
It is counterintuitive in a way, right? Because the sensations are uncomfortable. That's why we act out of them.
Yeah.
But that's really the key.
So the key is to let the emotions flow.
The sensations flow.
Oh, the sensations, not the emotions necessarily.
That's right. Because if I go to, if you feel angry, right? You're very angry and so you let it out, as they say, right? You start screaming or beating up a pillow, something like this. You have the impression that you're letting the emotion play out. Yeah, you're letting the emotion play out. That's not going to resolve anything. The fact to scream or to punch a pillow or whatever is controlling. You're releasing the tension inside.
Yes.
No. Yeah. So you want to feel the sensations as they change in your body without interfering or acting with them.
When you're feeling angry?
What sensations are you feeling in your body?
Feeling the sensations, right.
Yeah. Feel the tension.
I have a weird one with every now and then it happens. And my body gets flush with this like heat and this, not embarrassment, but it's kind of like this really weird sensation. And I get it in a certain situation when there's maybe a handful of people around me and they're all looking at me. And every now and then it just kicks in this physical sensation.
Yep.
And it's one of those weird things, but that's something like that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Whereas there's obviously some sort of emotional trauma that's been remembered by my subconscious when a particular situation has triggered it. And it must be a very particular situation because, it doesn't happen often. It's a very, very interesting thing.
At that very instant, your body feels in danger. At that very instant, your body is not, I don't know how old you are, you're in your 40s. At this very instant, your body is generating the physical sensation that you might have felt 40 years ago. Your body is like an amazing time machine. And you're right, there is something in this very specific situation that trigger the sensorial memory.
Yeah.
This can be resolved.
But then
we don't have to control it anymore.
Then we can try and control it. And that's probably what I do. And I don't know how, but I probably just try and bottle it, you know, or try and hide it somehow. I guess that's probably what I do in that particular situation. When you're formulating that emotional, that period, that trauma moment, obviously the consciousness is taking it on, but you're saying the subconsciousness is also taking a lot on?
The subconscious is what takes most of it on.
Okay, so we're not just bringing it in consciously and then developing it subconsciously. We're doing it all at the same time.
That's right. It's during the instant of dissociation, it's purely sensorial. It is purely sensorial. The brain is taking on all the information in a non-linear, non-logical way. It's in what you're tasting, what you're feeling on your skin, the pressure, if somebody is squeezing you, the smell, everything at a super high definition. And, we have labels for emotions, for the big emotions, anxiety, fear, etc. But let's say you and I, we meet for the first time.
Yep.
And I meet you, and as soon as I come close to you, maybe when we shake hands, wow, I sense tension. I feel tension in my body. Right away, I'm gonna make up a story about you. Right, I'm gonna say, I don't know, Bali. I don't like this guy. You know, and it's all based because when I came close to you, I felt tension in my body.
Yeah.
Now, why did I feel tension in my body? Most of the time, there's nothing to do with you. It may be your smell. Maybe you have the same smell that a kid that bullied me. Or maybe it's your shape. Maybe it's the tone of your voice. That becomes a trigger, a stimulus for my body. But it has nothing to do with you as a man, as an entity.
Yeah, right.
And you know, those tensions.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Those tensions, absolutely. They cut us from a lot of relationships. You know, those tensions that are not strong enough to have a label, I'm not afraid of you. That's not strong enough for me to say I'm afraid of you, but I feel uncomfortable next to you. But that's going to shape a lot of the dynamic in my life. And it's all subconscious based, and it doesn't mean anything about you, me, or the relation that we might create.
Okay, so you don't really know consciously when that trauma is happening, whether it's... Well, would you know what the stimulus is if your subconscious has identified it, not your consciousness?
No. No, and the beauty is you don't need to. As long as you can.
Wouldn't make a difference whether it's conscious or subconscious? No.
Zero. Zero. And a lot of time we spend time trying to know why, when resolving the feeling is actually fast. But as human being, we love to understand why. It's also a way to control, right? If I understand, then I'm in charge of my life. Then there's a control thing. But most of the time, it's necessary. Okay. And I would say, more often than not, people are going to make up a story, right? I see you. I don't know, maybe you're bigger than me. Or I'm going to make up a story. Oh, that's because whatever. Most of the time, the story is going to be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Nice. So emotional resolution. How do we start? How do we let ourselves overcome these emotions? What's the framework?
I think the first step is to accept that we feel this emotion, right? A lot of us don't want to accept or shame of some emotion that you have. And that by itself is a block to healing. So the first thing is to accept any emotion that we feel. An example that I often take is, let's say I see a homeless person in the street, and because of the character I built over the years, I'm not going to say anything, but inside of him, I'm going to find this person disgusting. But because of the character that I build, I'm a guy who's open-minded and all that, I'm not going to show it. I'm not even going to mention it. I'm not going to look at it because I'm ashamed of my own emotion. So this I will never heal, so to speak, or resolve because I'm of it. So, sorry, long story short, the first thing is to accept any emotion that we feel, even the one that we're ashamed of. Yeah. That's the first step.
Okay.
From acceptance comes resilience. You cannot become resilient to something that you don't accept.
How do you train people to identify when they're having an emotion, obviously by the physical body tension, whatever it might be, but also train them not to try and control it? Because that must be something very difficult to overcome.
That's correct. That's why we train people to do sessions, right? Because one can do resolution by themselves on themselves in the moment of an emotion. We just put out an app yesterday, actually, to teach people to do that. So one can do it in the moment, but as you said earlier, let's say in a situation where I'm surrounded with people, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to have the space or I'm going to feel safe enough to do the process on myself. It doesn't take long, but I'm not sure I'm going to feel safe enough to do that. What people are going to think if I close my eyes, etc. So that's why we do sessions. We are able to re-trigger very specifically emotions so that somebody resolve that emotion in a session, on one-on-one with.
So you help them trigger the emotion, because that's what I was thinking. Like, if you go into a session, like, and you don't have the emotion, how you're going to resolve it? So you really need to trigger that emotion, do you?
That's our specialty.
Okay, you make people angry.
Sometimes, but only for a second.
Yeah.
Right, because they feel maybe anger for a second or half a second, because right away, as soon as the emotion is started, we bring them into the sensations. And when you're with the sensations, there is no anger anymore. It's only sensations. It's only tension.
Yeah. Quick curiosity question. How do you, like, when you're talking with the client, how do you figure out what emotion they're suffering from and what to use as a trigger?
So the first thing is people have to come with a clear intention of what emotion or blockage they want to resolve. I'm not going to fish if I know. They have to something.
So they could say, look, I'm often angry and I hate this anger that that's always right. carries with me. How can you help? Okay, gotcha. Then the trigger part, how do you figure out the trigger? Because you might say something that I just laugh at.
No. What I will do, so there's different things that we do, but the classic one is I'm going to ask you for a specific moment when you felt angry, not years ago, but at currently in your life.
Recently, yeah.
Recently, maybe with your son or something. And we're going to use this specific situation. We're going to trick your brain in a way so that the brain thinks that you're re-experiencing the situation again now.
Yeah.
And your body is going to automatically generate interoception. Okay. And then our job is going to be for you to feel these sensations and to not act on it, to not try to change it, and for me to be as detached from your experience as possible, not to try to make you feel good or anything like that. And that's the first step. The other step are going to be for me to find questions that will allow me to resolve emotions that you build upon this emotion, right? An example that I often take is this father that comes to see me because he's upset at his kid who is getting very angry when the kid doesn't do his homework. And we work on that. We work on the anger. But then a question that I might ask is, when you see your kid not do his homework or being lazy, if the father uses the word lazy, what are you really afraid of? And the father might answer me, well, I'm afraid that he end up like me, getting a job that he doesn't like. And feeling like, boom, there's another emotion coming here.
Okay, so the emotion that builds another emotion, right?
Oh, that's what we do as human beings.
Yeah.
You know, we build emotion upon emotion. Other mammals, cows, horses, dogs, they feel an emotion and that's it. Us, we feel an emotion. Then we might feel shame about it, guilt, resentment, self-judgment. Like, that's what we do. And this happened in a matter of seconds. I mean, you notice that in your life, right? Maybe you have a reaction and then let's say you're in a in a setup and you're blushing for some reason, and then you feel bad about it, and then you feel like we create all those emotions constantly upon other emotions.
Yeah.
We're a complex being.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Can I think of some examples in my personal life? That's for sure.
We can all do, right? I mean, if you're honest, I mean.
So when we accept the emotion, you talk about letting it go. What did you call, what's the word? The where it comes into body?
Interoception.
Interoception, thank you. So the interoception, and then you talk about letting that go through you. What is that? What are we doing there? And what sort of time frames? Because I can't imagine it being a long process.
So it's never long. It's never longer than 90 seconds.
Okay.
An emotion, like a pure emotion, let me be precise. The interoceptive prediction, which is by you and me as an emotion, never lasts longer than 90 seconds. Between 2 and 90 seconds, never more. It only lasts longer if I try to control or if another emotion keeps on coming, you know, what we just talked about, you know, guilt, shame. And then you're going to feel a whole bunch of stuff. But actually in the brain, you cannot feel several emotions at once. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel emotions coming extremely quickly one after another, but you don't feel emotion at once. So it's possible that within a time frame of like 2 minutes, there are several emotions coming up.
Yeah.
But I forgot your question.
But that's, one trigger to obviously start that emotion, then you can have multiple emotions. But the last 90 seconds, just to, I guess, explain to me how that feels. Like, I mean, I'm just trying to think of an emotion now. Is it intense? I guess it's varying for people in different states.
It's varying for people in different states. It's going to be tension in the body, sensations in the body. Maybe the heart beating strongly, a knot in the throat, tension in the head, in the shoulders, nausea. You're going to feel sensations, physical sensations. Usually you're not consciously aware of them.
Mm.
But here you're going to be aware of them because that's going to be your job when we're together. Now you ask me, what do I do with them? What you do is you feel them. Now, I mean that feeling is an intense action. If you don't consciously feel, your mind is going to go somewhere else. You're going to think about something else that's going to trigger another emotion. And then you're going nowhere fast.
Yeah.
Feeling with intensity.
Yeah.
And that's an action. That's the only action you're going to do is to feel without acting. And it's not easy.
I can't imagine it being easy.
Yeah.
Because I imagine we're preconditioned to really try and control it so we don't feel it.
So you don't feel it. Exactly. Mm.
So you got to feel it.
That's the art of Emrys. Feel it. I often compare this work as the hero journey, you know? We spend our life either way avoiding our emotion, escaping them, or from them, or fighting them, that's maybe anger, or tries to seduce them. That's not going to solve anything. You've got to enter in the mouth of the monster. You have to enter in the mouth of the dragon. Feel it. Before you do anything, before you hide, before you scream, enter the emotion, feel it intensely. Don't act. And from inside, that's where you stay the dragon.
So do you close your eyes and just like in a meditation, sort of just be with it mindfully?
So you can say that. So a couple of things. Yes, you close your eyes, and you close your eyes not because it looks good, but you close your eyes because you need to be able to close your eyes without wanting to open them. We work with horses and cows at the Emotional Health Institute to understand the emotional process for mammals. We're mammals, you know. and the first thing, do you know what is the first thing a mammal does when they're afraid?
No, shut their eyes.
They stop blinking. A mammal, a horse, a cow, a dog, when they're exposed to a fear, they stop blinking. That's the first thing of fear. Same for us. That means that if we ever feel a fear and we close our eyes, but we want to peek, we want to look, it's because the body doesn't feel safe. You need to move yourself a little bit, maybe go on the other room or whatever is happening in your life, in a place where you feel the fear and you need to be able to close your eyes. And then the other trick that you want to try, if you want to try emotional resolution by yourself, is to feel at least two sensations at once. If you only feel one sensation, it's not going to be enough. Feel two sensations at once. And if you feel an emotion, you have a lot of sensations in your body. So you need to feel two sensations at once. That's one of the secrets. And then those sensations are going to start moving in your body. They're not going to stay static. You want to be actively feeling them while they move and in your body until they're gone.
What's a sensation? Like a rush of heat or what?
Yep. Heat, tension in the chest, leg shaking, arm tense, a knot in the throat, tense jaw. You mean you know them?
A number of different things. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're saying by allowing us to go through this process, we won't have that next time.
That's correct.
Will it still come up, or can we cure it like that?
No, it's called emotional resolution for a reason.
Hmm.
Because once the prediction is plays out until the end, and at the end of the prediction, nothing happens to you, automatically and instantly, the prediction will be updated. There's the
puzzle coming together. Right.
It's an updating. You update prediction constantly. This is how you learn.
So your brain's going, look, there's nothing bad about this situation. Nothing happens to you, so we don't need to have this anymore. Discarded.
That's right. But
so you don't need multiple sessions to come over like an anger problem or anything like that? No?
Most of the time, no. Between one and three. And the reason why you need between one and three is because, first of all, we need to be able to get you to not act on your emotion, or to not control. And then often from anger, the anger is just like the top of the iceberg, right? There's all the other emotions that either way created this anger or that came after this anger. So it depends. It's different for everybody.
Oh, okay. True. So there might be different things.
That's right. We're all different.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it could be a number of things that you have to sort of deal with and feel. Interesting. Does it help you with this emotional resolution personally, I guess, from your experience or maybe from your practice, be less emotional or calmer?
So, this is what I will say about that, because it's a common question. It's like, so if you do it all the time, if you do it a lot, you become non-emotional. No, that's not the thing. You will be able to feel the emotion that is held by your current reality.
Yeah.
Most of the time, the emotion that we feel are not congruent with our current reality.
Yeah.
Now, if you do MRES, what you will feel is the raw emotion held by what you're experiencing now in your life. And this emotion will not linger. You will feel it, and then it will go away.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to ruminate. You're not going to know. You feel it. Boom. You can act if you need to, you know, if it asks an action, but it will not linger. You will not react. You will act out of what you feel.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff, huh? Good stuff.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I guess it's probably recommended to have, like, you know, some sessions with you guys, but at home, can people try this by...
Absolutely, and we launched an app yesterday, which is very well done. We worked on it quite a bit, and the idea is to really to quote unquote give the power back to the people, right? It's we teach you step by step in details how to do this work on yourself by yourself.
Yeah.
And the app can also put you in relationship with practitioners, or you can just go to the website. And yes, doing a session is always good because it's an opportunity to experience the work, and then it becomes easier to do on yourself.
Doing yourself makes sense. Yeah. Yep. So you can go over to emotionalhealthinstitute.org.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll stick the link in the show notes for everyone.
Thank you.
What's the app called, or is it available on the site there?
EMRES, E-M-R-E-S. EMRES for emotional resolution. That's the name of the work.
EMRES. Yep. And is that available on your site to download, or do you just go to App Store?
App Store or Google Play.
Google Play. Okay, cool. Yeah. So a couple of links there, guys, are sticking in the show notes for you. I did have another question, burning question there. It's just departed me about this emotion. Do you recommend some sort of meditation practice?
I don't. I'm not a meditator myself. No, okay. I'm not, and nothing against meditation. It's just not your thing. That's right.
Do you recommend this emotional EMRES sort of practice? Do you recommend it's something that we should try and do, like forcing ourselves regularly?
Yeah, absolutely. As much as possible.
So we should try and trigger emotions so we can...
No, let life trigger your
emotions. Let life trigger them?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we practice it as it comes.
That's right.
We don't dedicate like meditation where you sort of sit down 15 minutes in the morning. No, okay.
So you can do that. You can learn how to re-trigger an emotion for yourself. And then if you're super dedicated, you on every morning for 15 minutes and re-trigger emotion and resolve them. I taught that to a lot of people. And I would say that 80% of the people that I teach it don't do it.
Mm.
They don't sit down in the morning to re-trigger emotion to resolve them. They can do it. They know how to do it.
I can't imagine they don't do it. Really something to look forward to anyway, maybe.
They just don't. So, you know, it's better to let the emotion arise by life and take care of it in the moment.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thanks. And thanks for your work, Cedric Batelli. I've got that pronunciation right, I hope. Batelli.
Yeah, you do.
And links in the show notes, guys, so check it out there. Cedric, thank you for coming on. Any final words?
My pleasure, Lee. No, just go to theemotionalhealthinstitute.org. If you have any questions, contact us. And thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for sharing, guys. Check it out at thehiddenwhy.com. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon. Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. I hope you love what you're hearing. If you like this episode, guys, or any of the episodes that you're listening to here at The Hidden Why, please do me a favor by sharing it. You can share it with your families. You can share it with your loved ones. You can do that by using your favorite social media channels, using the icons on the platform that you're listening to The Hidden Why podcast. Also, guys, if you're a fan of the show, please connect with me. Connect with me at thehiddenwhy.com. I love to hear from you. I love to converse with the people that listen to this show to find out what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy, and perhaps if they have any questions or feedback for the show as well. You can stay up to date with all that I'm releasing here, guys. I do a solo show every Monday, a 3-minute thought every Thursday. I do 2 interviews a week on a Wednesday and a Saturday, and a book review every Friday. You can stay up to date with all that by subscribing to my newsletter at thehiddenwhy.com. Just enter your email address there, and also subscribing to the podcast on the platform that you choose to listen to your podcast. You can also support the show, guys, by using the Amazon links at thehiddenwhy.com. So if you like books, you can get all the books that I review there and anything else, really, that you like to purchase through Amazon. So use that link and help support the show. And we've also got a deal with Audible, guys. Audible is a fantastic way to listen to all your favorite books. We've got a deal with them so you can get 2 free books when you subscribe subscribe to a 30-day free trial. So check that out, again, at thehiddenwhy.com. Guys, that's it from me. You know what to do. Go out there, breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose, and in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why. My name is Lee Martinuzzi. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.